toward the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We begin in the name of Allah, who is mercy and compassion.
Amen. Start.
I wanted to start by introducing Fatima, because, you know, she was there before any of the... she was the first one on the scene of the ones of us that are present up here. And Fatima had a very special role in our community all along, but she also has a picture of when Merchant lived on Clementina Street, for example, which nobody else here experienced him when he was living on Clementina Street, or when the first walks were done in the city, or how that all happened when you were I heard he took people out on Haight Street and things like that, but we weren't there in those early days. So I'd like for Fatima to be able to give us a picture of the really early days, and also I see she's brought some visual. Fatima brought beauty and the visual. Fatima really represented beauty and artistry and using things through art form, and Merchant saw her in that role in our community. And they were very close. He said she reminded him very much of his teacher, Rabia Martin, which wasn't always a good thing.
Oh, I didn't ever hear that. It was Mother Krishna Bai.
Yeah, but behind your back, he said, Rabia Martin, because you had such a strong will.
Well, I brought pictures of the very earliest dancing, and this is how big the circle was. And that's Wally Ali over there with his hand on his hip, and that's Taj, right next to him. So, I mean, it was a very small circle. The dances, they grew very fast, but in the beginning, it was very small. And this is out in front of his house.
Is that Moinadine?
Yeah, that's Moinadine, the tallest one, yeah. That's Wally in the center of that circle, of that little circle, spinning and doing, saying, who?
I almost didn't look at
And I used to, everyone had a very distinctive spin. It started, that was the first dances that we did, was, you know, we'd all stand around. I guess we didn't even hold hands in some of these, but say Allah, Allah, and we do the Yahya Huck in the center, and or just spin, or do Allah Hu with the partner. And as I said,
those were the first ones. The very first dances were the dervish cycle, which goes
right.
So
everyone had a very distinctive spin turn that they did, and so I used to imitate them. I mean, I'd get them. I had Wally's down really well. His was like a windmill. It's like his eyes were
only when I was doing Uranus.
Yeah. No, it was when you were you were which you were always doing when you and. These met him in February of 1967, and Moinuddin there's a tape out of how he met Murshid, and I agree with almost all of it. And there are a few discrepancies, but they're not important, so I figured don't have to go into that because the tape's already there. But I will say that we were with him for 4 years, and those were the most intense 4 years of my life. It's like so much happened. Like they say, I was there first. Well, she was there 6 months later. But it was like, that was a long time. You know, a lot happened in 6 months.
Yeah.
And everything, I mean, everything that we have, we learned in those 4 years. So it was an incredibly intense time. And I have to say, I did not use my mind at all during those times. I mean, I was guided by my heart, by other things. I never thought about what I was doing or why I was doing it. for 20 years, I think. And then when I did start thinking, you know, of course, everything became much harder to decide what to do. It takes long. I can't decide which is what. You know, but back then, you just did it. You just moved to San Francisco. You just met this man. You decided right then he's going to be your teacher. You know, invite your friends from Michigan to come out and meet him. They stay, you know, invite your friend from high school to come out. She stays. You know, just we didn't have to worry about getting the mind out of the way because the mind was not there. I mean, we really did not use our minds.
I never thought of it that way, but now that you mention it, that sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything just happened, and that's we just true. Followed it. And
Do you first remember walking with Mercer or him starting to do walking practices?
Well, we did them right away when we'd go. We met him one night shortly after he lived on Clementina, where he sat on his bed and gave talks to the three or four of us.
Because how big was the place? What did it look like for them?
A small bedroom.
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, this flat was split with another man who was in the front. He had a kitchen down a hall, but there were plastic curtains on the windows that rattled and made a lot of noise, and what do you call the horoscope thing?
Yeah, whatever. Zodiac.
A zodiac painted on the ceiling by Gavin Arthur, who used to live there, who was another of his friends. We got to meet all his friends. So he sat on the bed and gave talks, and we brought people, and they brought people, and it just grew really fast. And then he moved to Presita.
So the first walks.
Okay. We would walk to do errands. You know, we'd walk to the farmer's market, or we'd walk just out in the neighborhood. And the first walk that I remember being alone with him was the one where he decided a little test, and we were going to cross what was called Army Street. It's now Cesar Chavez, at a place where there wasn't a stop sign or anything. And it's like three lanes, and it's going each way. And he just grabbed my hand and said, "Watch your breath," and just started out in the middle of the traffic. I mean, the cars were just, and I became like a stallion, like I just like reared back, you know, like he's pulling and I'm not going. And he's just yelling, watch your breath, you know, it's just dragging me just right through the cars.
So that was your first walking.
That was my first, yeah. That was the first walk. So, but we used to go up and down the hills with David Hoffmaster was with us. He had cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
But he walked up and down the hills. We walked all over the city, usually doing what we do toward the one or Ficker, but also on all the hills, Yehi. And if you walked in the footprint of the person in front of you, it was like effortless to go up the hill. So those were the beginning walks.
So you and Moynihan invited Taj and Mansoor, is that right?
Yeah, we come out, meet our teacher. Got to meet our teacher. And they came.
Taj, maybe you could tell a little about that.
Just the meeting is, I think we arrived and you took us in either that day or the next day because we had just driven our Volkswagen bus from Michigan. We went in, and my oldest son, who was one then, was walking, but we went into the Mentor Garden, and Nathan, my oldest son, he just went up to Mershad, and he went like,
wow, I bowed down.
Do you remember?
No.
Oh, you don't remember that? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we went in, ever since then, we had the bus and we drove over the Golden Gate Bridge four times a week, over Mount Tam, four times to go to the Mentor Garden for our classes. We lived in Bolinas. We would be singing Sri Ram, Jai Ram. Moynihan would lead us in the chant as we went over.
They were the only one with a car. That's why we went in their car. but we would bring people, and, you know, he was not what you would expect a spiritual teacher to be. But it was like that not thinking thing, just the heart, you know, people would get it, you know, or not. But most of the people that we brought there intentionally stayed. And it's Shireen Doyle, when someone asked her, she said it was just the love in that room was so great that she couldn't stay away.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. But he was quite a character. Little tiny fellow, shorter than I am. You know, very,
yeah, describe his physical. You'd be good at describing
really
his physical appearance.
Really small and very powerful. I mean, really powerful hands, and energy. Like he just had so much energy. He didn't know what to do with it all. That's why he'd play solitaire while he was doing something else, or cracked walnuts while he was watching.
Perry Mason.
Yeah, except we didn't get Perry Mason in Novato. It was just static, but he watched the static while he cracked walnuts. And I have to say, this isn't about the dances, but he cracked so many walnuts, and I would go in Novato where we lived. There were a lot of old walnut orchards, so there were a lot of walnut trees around that they'd built up around. So I would drive up and down the streets collecting the walnuts that had fallen on the ground and getting bags and bags of them, and he would go through them so fast, and he would crack them, but they weren't not usable because they were so full of shells that you had to go through them again and get the shells out. And then we had so many jars of them that they all molded. It was, but we had to keep him supplied with walnuts. And the last picture I took of him, he's holding a bowl with walnuts in it. I was going to bring that one, but I didn't. So,
Wally, all you want to tell?
Everybody's probably heard the story about how I met him, right?
Tell us again.
No, okay. Well, I was really led to him by God. I mean, there was just no other way of putting it. Murshid was flat on his back in the hospital bed, and God appeared to him and said, "I make you the spiritual leader of the hippies." And he said, "No arguing. I'm flat on my back in the hospital." And at this point in time, he had he had a few disciples, but they all left shortly after.
No, we were there. That was when he said he had food poisoning from the Roquefort dressing.
Yeah, right. But I remember. It was probably a heart attack or something.
Right.
Yeah,
but we had come then when he got that message.
Yeah, okay.
Just a few of us.
Yeah, there were a few people, but he got that message from God. What had always been God to him came and fully told him this. And the hippies were people who were having a lot of experiences, as you know, and psychedelics and exploring all these new worlds. Murshid had been, you know, he used to love to tell the story about being at the psychedelic conference with Tim Leary and Richard Alpert, who later Baba Ram Dass, and the district attorney and the chief of police, and in San Francisco, whatever it was, 1967 or 6, and he said, and Leary would stand up and he'd say, "The experiences we've had on LSD, there's no name for, you know, it's just beyond anything that you could express." And then Alpert would get up and he would say, "The experiences we've had on LSD are beyond anything there's any names for." And so, and then Sammy said, and he got up, and he said, "I got up and said, there's not a single experience you've had that there isn't a name for in Sanskrit." He saw it. I mean, he saw the states that people were in, not as some taboo, but as some, they had opened into states that they needed a teacher badly. And God even saw that and had mercy on us and told him, "You're the man." And after that, the hippies beat a path to his door. I was one of them. After the Hare Krishnas invited me up for a love feast, there was a there they were saying Hare Krishna and passing around that white candy stuff and prasad, and Swami Bhaktivedanta was there. But you know, I saw one person in the room that I really liked. His look. He was a man my age, Daniel Lomax. So I wanted to make a conversation with him, and I went up to him and I said, like you said, not thinking. First thing that came out of my mouth, I'm writing my dissertation on the laughter of God, and I wonder if you could be of any help.
And normal conversation. Yeah,
yeah. Well, so anyway, his response was, I think I know somebody that has that quality, but I don't know if he'd be interested in helping you with your dissertation. He'd be more interested in your spiritual development. Well, it took me about a second to think that was a good idea. And then he was kind enough to write down the name Sufi Samuel Lewis, the address, the times of his meetings, draw a map how to get there, which was right on, you know, 410 Placida Avenue, and there was a meeting that night, so I went. And I walked in the door, and there he was, and he was the answer to every question I had. You know, his being was the answer to every question I had. And that was it.
How about if we set the scene for the
dance,
the beginning of the dances, right. The birth, yeah, of the dances.
That I remember very distinctly. I mean, I remember it.
You were there.
Up to that point, we weren't dancing, and after that, we were dancing. It was just like boom, boom. And it happened when Pir Vilayat came and spoke, immediately after Pir Vilayat came and spoke at the Mentor Garden.
So that was 1968. When in 1968?
I mean, I don't, but I would look at Mansoor's book. He's got all that stuff in there. You know, it's all, you know, you got to... He did a great job by keeping a diary and keeping a journal. There's a lot of power, because otherwise we could never remember so many details, you know, because Murshid, every day with Murshid was so absolutely full. You know, he was up in the morning, you know, before anybody else, you know, taking a walk, doing, you know, writing letters, I mean, doing his practices, you know. I mean, everything, you know, everything was full of concentration. So he did us a lot of favors finding that, doing that. So I don't know, but it was sometime in 68, and he came. And the important thing was he was talking about the dance of the dervish and the way of the dervish.
Pir
Vilayat was. He was talking, and he was all very tightly wrapped in his robe and very sweaty, you know, because he was very intense. This was an important meeting. If they could work together, Shamshir had been a big force in trying to bring them together. If they could work together, then there was hope for Sufism in America being revived, and it did happen as a result of that acceptance that happened right there, and they worked together. And it generated something that was big enough now to have kept going in a big way. Because there was a point when there was some danger, it was all going to die out here because of, you know, the karmic difficulties that had happened. But he'd given this talk, and at the end of the talk, I think it was, I always love the naive question, someone in the audience, in our small little group in the upstairs room in the Mentor Garden, Murali, you know, where you play your tabla, and that's where we were meeting. Maybe 30, 40 of us crammed in there.
Yes.
Who knows? Were you there, Taj?
Oh,
you were there. You were,
yes,
there, certainly. It was intense. And someone said, where do you meet one of these dervishes? Pir Vilayat turned to Sam, and he pointed to him, and there's one right here. I think that was the moment Sam accepted him, because he'd always been wanting to be seen by somebody in the official organization of Hazrat Inayat Khan. The story he told about it was, he said, I had one breath to decide whether to accept him or not. And you know why I said yes? Because I'm a romantic. but after that, the very next time we met, Merced said, he said, I guess picked up from the atmosphere of the previous evening, he said, you interested in dervish dances? He said, I've danced with dervishes all over the world. He said, we'll do what he talks about. And so then we started doing the first ones, which was a dervish cycle. Allah, 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 Yahya, you know, and then so forth. And then after, there were some other dervish dances like that, and then the next dances were the Om Sri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram dances. And then pretty soon the heavens opened and he started saying, I'm being kept up all night with, you know, God has given me dances. And you know, and I need a dance secretary and I'm trying to transcribe all these dances that I'm getting. You guys can come in.
He had formed a ladies' dance class and he had dances coming through for us. I forgot to bring my book.
Yeah, that was much later though, wasn't it?
I don't know.
When did you come on the scene, Shobda?
So I'd had the good fortune. I had the same kind of psychedelic saga of opening, and I heard Baba Ram Das on the radio when he had just come back from India, and the message he was giving of his exploration with LSD and then finding a teacher just touched my heart. I found him right away. And so that was the beginning of my path. But it turned out that the very few spiritual teachers that were coming to New York City, they all spoke at the same church. You know, everything happened at the same place, the Unitarian Church in Central Park West. And so Swami Satchananda gave yoga classes on Thursday nights, and then we'd go to that. And then Pir Vilayat came to that church and gave a talk there, and it was 1968. And mostly, as Merced called them, the dolls, the dear old ladies, like looking at us, that's what Wheeler would look like to the few young people who were there. And I was amongst, you know, a group of four or five young people. And Pir Vilayat was so excited that there were young people in the audience, and so he invited us back to the home he was staying at, and we made a friendship. I was still going to be on my way to Ram Dass's. You know, that was where my heart was, to be a yogi. But he invited us out to. He said he was giving his first summer camp. It would be in the mountains in Colorado, and it was early June, 1969, and he was inviting us there. And the thing with Ram Dass starting the community in New Hampshire that some of you are aware of, that didn't happen till the beginning of July. That was our date to go there. So I was free. By that time, I had given away everything I had, sold everything I had, and I was going to be a yogi. I wouldn't need any money after that, so I had enough money to... We drove out in one of those cars, you know, where they ask you to drive a car across the country. It was a terrible wreck of a car that someone had purchased in an old taxi cab.
With Charlene, you mean?
No, this was before Charlene. There was a year before that. It was with
This was when you met us at the camp in Colorado.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we went to the camp in Colorado, and there was about 35 of us there, and Wally Ali was there, Taj was there. I think by then were you already with Pir Vilayat by then?
No, not yet.
That was where they...
Oh, I see. That was the spot. Okay. And there was of the 35 people there, I would say 20 of them were Murshid Sam's disciples. And we did a few of the dances there. And, you know, they were just amazing. They just captured my heart right away. And even then, you know, Pir Vilayat offered me initiation, but I was thinking, I'm going to do this yogi thing. But I still had time, enough time, after the camp. Ayesha and Wally Ali both invited me out, said, come on out to San Francisco. So I flew out to San Francisco, or drove, I don't remember anymore, and got to meet Murshid Sam, got to meet the group, and then went to my retreat in New Hampshire, in Franklin, New Hampshire. I thought he would put me in a cave and say, do this practice till I was enlightened, and it wasn't just like that. but we did have a good time there. We got some good training. I was on silence the whole time and, you know, yogi stuff. And but then October came, or September, it was too cold to live in Franklin, New Hampshire, in the kind of way we were living. And so then we bought a Volkswagen bus, and some of you know Sarah Morgan, who four names before that was Charlene, and the two of us.
Who described her trip to me of that trip.
I'm sure it was quite a different description.
You drove her nuts. He wouldn't let her talk about anything but the present. So she couldn't say. She couldn't say she wanted to stop. She needed, you know, she wanted to get some ice cream or something. That wasn't the present.
Hopefully I've gained a slight bit of understanding from that position.
Where are we going to stop tonight? No, no. No.
Anyway, we did. We drove straight to Murshid's door. And that night, it was Wednesday night, and we went to the dance meeting right here in Marin. At the San Francisco Theological Seminary, a beautiful hall that Murshid led dances on Wednesday night. And we danced with everyone, and in true hippie style, we said, we've just arrived, and does anyone have a place we could stay? And then Omar, you know, George Matthews, his roommate was the famous jazz singer, Al Jarreau, and he was on tour. So we had his room for several months. You know? We had a free place to stay, and you know, in no time we became Murshid's disciples, and so that's how we entered in. That was the beginning of my. So I came after the dances had begun, and it was
the dances fall of drew 16. You. The dances really drew.
Drew
I think because I was the one that was leading them up there at that camp. I remember, you know, yeah. And it was exciting. It was exciting to be there when the dances were just beginning to take off because there was some magic around it. I mean, it was like they were destined. And Murshid knew it from the very beginning.
He predicted it. He did.
Yeah.
To talk a little about what it was like being with Murshid, you felt this was something, someone who really cared about you and who could see you and who could see who you could become more than... You know, looking at you, yeah, this person's got a lot of, and was very, very attentive to you in a personal way. I'll tell you this story first, then I'll tell you the story I was going to say is, he loved to do gardening. He was a horticulturalist and a soil scientist, and he worked on water desalinization, and he grew a vegetable garden. Well, he was doing that. I was going to try that. And so I planted my first garden, and I was living in Marin in Tam Valley. And I don't know why I was growing cabbage or, you know, something I don't usually grow now, but I have become a gardener my rest of my life. But it had aphids on it. So I walked in and to the meeting, and I asked Murshid about aphids, and he said, you know, next time you come, I'll give you the solution. And then, so can you imagine, I walk into the mentor garden, and he's sitting in the front. And so he calls me up, and in his, like while he was describing, or Fatima, his hands had so much power in his forearms. And, you know, there was, but he beckoned me to the front, and he said, follow me. And we walked into the kitchen in the back of the mentor garden. And he opens the refrigerator, and he hands me a big bag of the ends of asparagus, you know, the broken, you know, when you cook asparagus. He says, just boil these and spray your plants with these, and you won't have any aphids. Wow. Which is a good gardener's tip for all of you. I had to go back to New York in the summer of 1970. So it was a... July, August, my father had a hip replacement, and so I went back to be his, you know, nurse or whatever, you know, helper. And during that period, there was a reunion at in Franklin, New Hampshire, at Baba Ram Das's land, for all the people who had lived there the summer before. And that's what you see in the film Sunseed. Mm-hmm. And so I presented the dances there. And someone had taken a photograph of it. And it was a little teeny photograph, you know, 3x3. And I mailed it to Murshid with a letter, and he wrote me back, and he said, the picture you sent made me cry. Mm-hmm. I saw it long before you sent it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, there was that kind of... I remember when I was going on the trip, and I was leaving, and he said, "What? Anything you need, what can I do for you, and so on. But